absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode number 17 of Absolutely Intercultural. And thanks for tuning in again.
Have you ever thought about your own identity? Or about borrowing another identity to see what it is like to live the life of somebody else? Have you ever marveled about how your life would have been if you had grown up in another country? Or if, for example, you were a homeless person? Well, in this episode, we try to answer those questions as we talk about a European project, which we've started recently together with students in Sweden, Spain, England, and Hungary. The title of the project is Borrowed Identities, and you'll hear more about that in a minute.
But let's first have a look at the amazing feedback we've got since the last show. First of all, we say hello to our listeners TT and Veronique in the USA and Hala in Saudi Arabia. Thank you and shukran for putting your pin on our Frapper map. We are glad you're with us. Alhamdulillah. And we have received some very flattering comments from our listeners, Anne, Ridwan, and Anna. Well, we are glad you liked our show, and it's fantastic to hear that through our show you have discovered other interesting podcasts and weblogs that now even help you with your studies. And Trevor wrote that his job as a secondary school teacher nowadays includes to prepare future students for the kind of experience and training that we try to promote in our podcast, Intercultural Education, which is now being introduced into the school curriculum too. Well, Trevor, that's very good news indeed.
And as a regular listener, you will have noticed that Absolutely Intercultural has been nominated as one of the 10 best podcasts for the BOBS Award. This award is given out by the Deutsche Welle Radio, which is comparable to the BBC World Service, but for Germany. It's already a real honor that we've been nominated, but imagine how great it would be if we'd even win the award. Well, and you can help us with that by going to the BOBS website at www.thebobs.com and voting for us. Please go to thebobs.com, click on Cast Your Vote, and then look for the box where it says Best Podcast. Tick Absolutely Intercultural, scroll down the page, fill in your name and your email address, and click on Send. And that's it. It really doesn't take longer than a minute, but it helps us a lot.
Well, we are really excited about this. So far, about 200 people have voted for our show, but the competition is tough and every vote is important. So your vote is important. Please go to www.thebobs.com and cast your vote for Absolutely Intercultural as the best podcast. But now for something completely different. Some time ago, I went to Brighton to help getting a European project, Borrowed Identities, off the ground. I got together with Vi, Lily, Jessica and Ross from the School of Languages at the University of Brighton. And of course, we first tried to figure out what exactly we were talking about. If we can borrow an identity or not, what identity really is, and how Ben Kingsley and Gandhi fit into this picture. And later on, you'll hear a little bit more about the structure and the aims of this project from Pat Shrimpton, who works at the University of Umeå in the north of Sweden. But let's first start with the more philosophical part.
Well, borrowed identities, the question that we have been trying to figure out is, can we borrow identities? Is it possible? And what do we mean by identities?
The question is, why would we want to borrow identity? We've got to, you know, define that. I mean, we are going to do a project, and that is part of the fact that we're sitting here and talking. So we might want to borrow identity because we want to show how it is different to be a British person or a German person. But there could be other issues.
I think the idea in this case is that we're asking our students to take on a different cultural identity or persona in order to get them to develop their empathy with a certain kind of an identity or a certain cultural identity. And that's what we're hoping that they'll do, but that by researching a certain area and taking on the traits and kind of embedding themselves in a different culture, that they'll be able to borrow an identity and therefore understand that identity more clearly.
And then the question is, if they're only sort of taking on superficial aspects of someone's identity, to what extent does that actually allow people to have empathy? For example, if they, say, live with another family for 1 week or so, and, you know, eat their food and do their routines, how much of an insight does that actually give them to the identity of the host culture?
But the question is it borrowing identity, or is it just finding out certain characteristics about a particular group of people? So what do we mean by identity? Is it just characteristics or somebody being late or being on time? Are these very personal, or are these a cultural thing?
Well, it is also the fact that how does it feel to be somebody else? You know, that goes, as Jess said, with the empathy. You know, so you've got to understand that person before you can, you know, think about it and borrow their identity.
Yes, I agree. I think that's right. And also it's this idea, I mean, we were saying earlier about if an actor is trying to take on the role of another character, say Ben Kingsley in Gandhi, you know, he tried to take on some of the actual beliefs that Gandhi did and, you know, became a vegetarian, and you were saying that still doesn't mean that he has taken on Gandhi's identity, but also I'm sure that there is part of him that, because he tried to live and breathe in that way, he obviously did take on some of that identity, where he wasn't Gandhi, but he got as close as he possibly could to understanding what it was like to be Gandhi. And to me, that's what we're kind of trying to encourage here, maybe not to that level, and that to me is kind of enough for borrowing identities. But you're not so sure, are you?
No, because it is not about living, it's about, especially with Gandhi and Ben Kingsley, well, Gandhi had actually faced racial discrimination and he has gone through the process of having to deal with it, whereas Ben Kingsley comes and takes on just that, the being a vegetarian and being, I don't know, going in loincloth or something like that. So it's not necessarily... It does. I mean, he has taken some aspect of it in order to understand.
Well, apparently it's not so easy to find a common ground when you talk about identity, especially about something as unusual as a borrowed identity. Maybe we need to get a bit closer to the point here and specify what is really meant by the word borrowed.
Because, I mean, this is like a borrowed car. A borrowed car doesn't turn into your car only because you are driving it. And you might find it difficult to find the... the gear to go backwards, for example. And in these situations, you realize you haven't completely taken it over. But I think that would probably be in the borrowed identity, because that already shows you haven't taken it over, but you only have parts of it. You pretend it's yours.
Yes, yeah, I agree with the fact that you have only parts of it, but it's just characteristics, it's not identity. I think that's where I have my understanding is quite different.
Because I think if the project was called Owning an Identity, yes, there would be a lot of problems with that. But I think the idea of borrowing someone's identity, and the example, I mean, what I'm hoping is if our students, you know, pretended to be a different culture or religion or race, that they would be able to say, well, okay, I myself haven't had to experience racial discrimination, for example, but I can remember a time in my life when I have been, you know, I have been made to feel like I stand out or I'm different from the rest of the social group, and I remember how that feels, and I can kind of see what this person was experiencing and feeling. I mean, agree, it's very difficult to think about what Gandhi must have gone through if you're a British actor, but I think if we're getting as close as we possibly can to giving our students the experience of being someone different and feeling what that might be, and getting them to think about what that might be like rather than believing what that might be like, maybe.
I know of one situation where the concept of a borrowed identity has already been proven quite successful. I participated in a one-week intensive seminar in Ireland where, amongst other activities, a group of students was invited for 1 day into a typical Irish family with children of their own age. Although this was only a brief visit into another culture, I know that both the students and the family benefited a lot from this experience. Not only did they have a great time, but they also became more aware of similarities. They found that although there were many differences on the surface, they shared very much the same hopes and beliefs. But there are other interesting examples, so let's listen to Ross in Brighton.
Another instance of borrowing identity would be the case last year, some of our students making a video of pretending, acting out, being a homeless person for a few hours on the streets of Brighton. And they learnt a lot from that. They realised that as a homeless person that they were ignored on the street, that people would avoid eye contact, etc. But it seems to me that taking the identity of a homeless person is quite a different thing from taking the identity of a culture, because I believe that culture is a lot more complex thing, whereas a homeless person perhaps is a... Yes, it's part of a social grouping, if you like, but it's also much more of an individual nature. So perhaps what we're asking our students to do is actually a lot more complex. And if we're not careful, if we reduce it to certain features like food, and like if you mention any one of those things, it never encapsulates what it is to be part of a culture.
That must have been quite an intense experience. And isn't going abroad for an internship or for your studies, for example, also an opportunity to actively design or maybe borrow another identity?
Yeah, and also that goes back to subcultures as well. So, for example, if you are a foreign student and you go to a new university and you see the other students behaving in a certain way, you want to be part of that, and therefore you borrow that identity in the way that you sort of try to wear the same clothes, wear the same hairstyle, do the same thing, say the same thing, and even it changes your accent and your language. That is another example for borrowed identities.
Actually, that brings me back to the same place here in Brighton years and years and years ago. Well, maybe something like 20 years, even more than 20 years ago, I studied here on the other side of the street at the University of Sussex. And I realized at that time the students here were very left-wing, very trendy, and I wasn't. And I ended up dyeing my hair red. It was also adapting to the new culture. For me, this was only for 4 months, for one semester. And I was borrowing this identity of an English student at a very left-wing, trendy university somehow.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me as well a long time ago when I came from Iran to Kiel University, which in those days was one of the most modern universities in Britain. And then after 2 months, my suits all changed to ponchos and wide-brimmed trousers, and my short hair became long. And I was totally a complete different person.
For me, identity is a bit more complex. You have a history for an identity. You have cultural and social history to it, which is also then fed by language and everything else with it.
It'll be interesting to see whether our students who have perhaps grown up in a so-called postmodern society agree with you, that whether they see their own identities as something as fixed as you, or as core, if you like, as you believe, because, of course, one of the arguments is that identity is something that we can play around with a lot more these days than our parents ever could. So I imagine they might think that it is something that if we can not only borrow, but actually borrow and keep if we want.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really true, because I think my identity has come and will still probably change again in a few years' time as well. That identity is something as a person. I think the identity I have when I was a student is different to the identity I have now as a lecturer. So I think that's really interesting of that knowledge of self, of who you are as a person. I think that's something that hopefully our students will reflect on as well.
Though. Yes. Exactly. It's about knowledge of self.
Yes.
And it's also the belief systems that you build up over time. That's what makes an identity. So you can't actually borrow an identity without that building up of belief system and changing and reconfiguring yourself. So it is very personal and it is very individual.
How nervous would you get when I use the word designing your own identity? Because this is something over the last couple of years, I've done that a lot with outgoing students. I look after our outgoing students at our university in Germany. And if I know them very well, for example, if I've been on an excursion with them or something, I encourage them to sit with me for half an hour and to speak very openly, and they say they go to America for 6 months, and I say, come on, nobody's going to know you there. You can try out a new identity. You can try out something and then afterwards evaluate it, and then you can decide, is this me or is it not me? And this has been quite exciting for some students and for me to watch that when they came back, how they had tried out something. Somebody was very conservative, and I encouraged him to try out things which his peers had tried out
5 years earlier. And you will never get that chance again, that you get a completely fresh start and you know it's going to be only for 6 months.
That's why I think it's going to work particularly well with students, because students, I think when they go to university, a lot of students do see it as a time to create a new identity for themselves, either if it's for 4 months or if it's going to be for their whole university career. So I think that's why I think probably they're going to have much more to offer this discussion than we are from that point of view.
Well, identity is one of those complex things that we all have, but very rarely think about. Or do we? Do you? Of course, we are interested in your opinion about our project and about identity in general. So please go to www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can leave a comment, send us an email, or an audio comment. We'd love to hear from you, and you can be sure we will follow up your ideas.
Well, to give you a little bit more background information about the structure and the aims of this project, I have interviewed Pat Shrimpton, who works at the University of Umeå in the north of Sweden. Pat is the coordinator of the Borrowed Identities project at the Swedish station and a long-time project partner. So, Pat, we use the slogan "from virtual to real" very often in our projects. But what is it all about?
Well, usually we're about 5 stations involved in these projects. There is a coordinator in each station who coordinates the activities of the students. And what we try to do is to really involve the students. This isn't like an ordinary course where somebody teaches and they learn. They are involved in the activities as much as possible. And what happens is that they prepare online activities. That is, they work together online for about 3 months around a theme. And there's a nice word for this in German. It's a spiele Idee, and I cannot find an English equivalent.
So can you give us an example of such a spiele Idee then?
Yes. Well, last time's spiele Idee was to persuade a low-budget airline to make Lyon one of their flight destinations. And the activities that we did in preparation for this was that the groups of students worked together to produce a business plan for this new flight. And we also produced an in-flight magazine to which all the students in all the stations could contribute articles. And then this was actually printed and, in fact, sent to the low-budget airline.
Right, and this is part of the preparation. And then the students from the 5 countries meet in real life. For how long is that?
Yes, that preparation goes on for about 3 months, and then the students meet each other, as you said, in real life, and that lasts about 11 days. The planning for this, the trip and everything, is actually planned by the students, so this is part of the idea of making it very much student-centred, and students also take on various real jobs in connection with this.
And what kinds of jobs are those?
Well, jobs like, we have one job, for example, that we advertise here in Umeå, which is called public relations. And a student is appointed who will write articles for the local Irish newspaper, who will try to get the local radio interested, who will see to it that all the people on the island know about us and know when we're coming and know what's happening. And there are other jobs like looking after where everybody's going to live or to make sure social mingling goes as we would want it to, so that students aren't left out and everybody mixes together.
Well, I was wondering about that. For example, when the students meet for the first time, what is the situation like?
Tense. And very often one group arrives earlier than the others and spends the whole day wondering what the other people are going to be like. They meet first in a youth hostel in Dublin, and it's very exciting, and you can feel the excitement in the air when they meet each other. And it's a real move from virtual to real. And they feel they know each other in a way because they've been working together, but they've only ever seen each other's photographs and sometimes they don't always look like their photographs. Swedish girls have a habit of changing the colour of their hair with the day of the week. Sometimes when you're expecting a nice Swedish blonde, they turn up completely coal black, you know. So sometimes it can be a shock. But once they sort of get together in the hostel, things very quickly change. They start off by being in their own nationality groups, and then they start, one or two start to talk across the barriers, and then they can recognize someone across the room that they've been corresponding with, and then the barriers sort of break down, and then the groups become much more heterogeneous. Then they go to this island on the west coast in County Mayo, an island called Achill. And there they have to work together in international teams, doing concrete jobs, and it's really a very busy period because a lot of things have to be done in a very short time. So there are workshops, for example, which concentrate on community projects, projects that involve and help the community if possible. The idea here is that not only do they work in international groups among themselves, but they also try to get as close as possible during a short stay to the people who live on the island. And they do things, the workshops are directed towards involving island people as well. So, for example, a group will go to the local school and talk to the children about their countries and where they come from, which is always very popular. Another group, for example, have created an online booking service for a bed and breakfast on the island. And some students go and meet the old people who go to the day centre on the island and talk to them about what life was like in the past. And also the old people are very interested in what life is like for our students now. And it's a small community, so everybody knows they all know each other. And word gets around and is helped by the PR manager, of course, spreading the word.
Right.
People meet in the post office, in the food shop, and word gets around. And then islanders will sort of say, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. He's very interested in this aspect. And then it's like when you drop a pebble in a pool, you know, and the ripples spread.
Now, this year, the famous Spielidee is called Borrowed Identities. Can you say something about that?
Yes. The first step in that is meeting other people from different backgrounds. And that's already started with the preparatory work online. So that students are trying to get to know each other from the five different stations. But it isn't just that we have five stations. The students in those five stations also come from several different nationalities. So first they meet each other online and learn about their different backgrounds. And when they go to Achill, they also try to learn about what it's like to be a resident on Achill, what it's like to work there. And that's the first step. And then the second step is that they try to step into the shoes of those people. They try to borrow their identity.
And then they slip back into their own identity.
I'm afraid so.
Yes. Well, it seems almost like a rhetorical question now, but what do you expect your students to learn from this experience?
Well, I think there are several levels to this. Purely practically, I think they learn a lot about autonomous learning. They learn to take responsibility for their own learning. No one tells them exactly how to go about things. They have to work things out for themselves. I think they also learn about documenting things and gaining insights into other people's lifestyles. And living as they do in cottages with mixed nationalities, one hopes that they also learn a little about tolerance and and accept that there are different ways of doing things which may be just as good as the way they do things in their home country. All this is actually learnt sort of on the ground. It's not something theoretical. It's not something out of a book or that some teachers told them. It's something that they actually have to do in order to make life tolerable for the week or 10 days that they're there.
Thank you very much for listening again. We really hope you enjoyed the show. And if you have, then please vote for Absolutely Intercultural at www.thebobs.com, where our show has been nominated as one of the 10 best podcasts for the Bobs Award.
So we really need and appreciate your support, and we'll keep you up to date about the results of the voting, we promise. Well, the next show will be coming to you on the 17th of November from Denmark. Until then,
stay tuned!
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.